We're winding down our series in Ephesians. Have you guys liked it so far? It's been good? Good. That encourages me. I'll keep going. Now, we're going to be ending this series next Sunday, and the next book we're going into, it's going to make you guys want to rip the seats up you're sitting on. I promise God, it's going to be so good. How many of you guys remember Jerry Springer? Anybody? So when you, I'm not going to tell you our series, you're going to have to check us out on Facebook. And by the way, if you haven't checked us out on Facebook, give us a like, or jam over to Instagram, give us a like, and keep up to date with what's going on. We'll announce it there this week. But I'm telling you what, this next series that we're going to be into, it's going to be like you're literally watching the Jerry Springer show every Sunday. So it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to start it. But if you guys got your Bibles this morning, let's head on over to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be in chapter 6, verse 1, and I'm only going to teach on four verses, and we're going to get out of here. But these four verses are so impactful, it's definitely going to take all of our time this morning. So let's get in a word of prayer, because we need God to speak to us. We need Him. I mean, bad. So Lord, we love You, and we come into Your presence today, God. And we're just here to listen to You. We're here to submit to You, God. Set up rule and reign in our hearts, Lord. Take control. Make old things new. Make dead things alive. Strengthen what's weak, Father. And God, we pray that you mend what's been broken. So, Lord, speak to us today. We're ready to listen. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. So Paul's been talking a lot about family these last couple weeks. He's been stressing it pretty seriously, hasn't he? Last week we talked about marriages, and we were talking about wives and husbands and how they're to act and interact with each other, and that both are to submit to each other and to Christ. It's not one or the other, it's both and to Jesus. So if you missed last week's message, I don't want to go through it again. It was gnarly enough for me the first time because it started out, wives, submit to your husbands. And that was good enough for me. And so we got through that and we explained it. But if you want to check it out, you can go online and check that message again. But what he's doing is Paul's spending a lot of time on the family dynamics because it's so important. And now he's going to get into us with our children. So it goes from marriages to our children and parenting. And if you don't have any kids, it's still going to speak to you. If you've got kids and they're out of your house, it's still going to speak to you. Now, here's the why Paul's spending so much time on it, is because when your family is right, life is right. But when family is hard, life is going to be hell. Anybody? Come on, raise your hand. Is that true? I'll tell you what. If your family's not right, it's going to be messed up. It's going to be hard. You're not going to want to come home after work. It's going to be a mess. So Paul is going into this family, this issue of family dynamics again. And as we're winding down in this book, this is a passage that I really, if I could say, I wish I would have got early on in my life, out of all the passages in the Bible, it's going to be this one. I'm going to tell you guys why. I'm going to set some context in my life because you guys don't know me like that. When it comes to submitting to your parents and having parents, it's complicated. And some of us have got some pretty jacked up backgrounds. I won't tell you all of it, but I'll tell you a beginning of it. When I was a baby, I was born to drug addicts. And they used to give me acid mixed with wine when I was an infant to shut me up. And it went from that to my mom getting beaten pretty much to death, to the point to where she couldn't do it anymore and had to leave. And she took me with her. But she was unstable. She was a dope addict. And she was a single mom and did the best that she could do. And it went from abuse and beatings to dealing with a dysfunctional mom who was totally mental. We were homeless a lot of the time. I remember one time she picked me up from school and the car was packed and we jammed down to Mexico. We lived in Mexico for half a year left Mexico, ended up going up into Idaho. It was in the winter, had no blankets. We lived in our car with newspaper, starving. Man, I was so hungry. And I remember one time there was a guy who offered to pay us gas and to take us out to dinner. And I hadn't eaten in about a week. And I was so excited. He's like, he told me, he says, man, you just get whatever you want. And so I was like, okay. And we get to this restaurant, and I was like, I want ham, steak, eggs, toast. I remember it like it was yesterday. You don't forget stuff, especially like this. And my mom looked at it before I ate it, and she said, Jason, you're going to eat that? I said, yeah. She goes, I want you to know that they just killed somebody in the back alley, and they put his flesh on that plate. And if you eat that, you're eating somebody. You know, it's abuse is weird because sometimes it's not just physical. And I looked at that, and it kind of freaked me out, and on it went. And my mom was high for all her life except for one summer in 1983 for a few months, and it was the best life I ever had with my mom that I could ever remember. And then after that, it just went totally downhill from there. And then, as you guys know, when I turned 36, she killed herself on my birthday, and it was kind of like her last word to our story. Now, I know that's kind of serious to start out a message with, but I'm doing it because I want you guys to understand where I'm coming from when I teach what I teach today, because if you listen to this and you're hearing Jason, you're telling me to submit and to honor my parents, you don't know nothing about me, you don't know my story. I got a good idea. And so it's so important, because what God is doing is hitting the reset button on our lives and our family. And when I look back over my life and I see where God has got me now, it shows me that Satan was trying to destroy me then. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible says if he is for us, who can be against us? And it doesn't matter your past, it doesn't matter the dysfunction, it doesn't matter the addiction, it doesn't matter the abuse, whatever it is, God is going to complete his work in us. And it's a testimony that when he gets his hand on you, oh God, he's going to change you in such a way that you would never believe it. You'd never imagine it. And it's important that we listen to what God's saying to us today, because it's God hitting that reset button to get our families back to the way they were before sin entered into the world. Did you guys know that? Listen, just a side note. When you look in the Bible and you start reading the Bible, read it through this lens. It's God trying to get you to set the reset button in your life to get things back to the way that they used to be before sin entered into the world. Does that make sense? So what Paul does is he starts out here in verse 6. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you live long on the earth. And so Paul is giving that order of headship now with children and parents. Last week it was wives submit to your husbands, husbands submit to Christ, Christ submits to God. Then he's going to talk next week about employees and employers. And there's this headship that God has set up. Regardless of what the culture says, there's a headship with the man. And this is very important. I agree, men are not being men today. But for those of us who have given our life to the Lord and we're saying, you know what, we're not going to go out like that. We're going to stand up. We're going to be men. God's speaking to us, and there's a headship, a special headship there with us. It's not a dictatorship, ladies. It's a headship. And so he says, he's laying out this order, and he says, children, obey your parents. And what's cool about that, when you read that, is Paul automatically assumes that kids are going to be in church. Not camping, not fishing, not sports. And by the way, I'm down with all of that. I love camping. I love sports. But if there's any place that your kids need to be on Sunday, guess where it is? It's in the house of the Lord. Because camping's not going to teach them spiritual things. Fishing ain't going to get them through the tough stuff. They need Jesus. They need the Word. They need fellowship. They need encouragement. And they need a godly man to lead them in all of that stuff. And he says, children, obey your parents, because he says that he assumes that they're going to be there. And there's nothing wrong with schedules. The problem is when God's got to submit to your schedule versus your schedule having to submit to God. And we want to flip the switch on that. I'm not saying you got to be here every Sunday. I'm saying when you raise your kids in the Lord, it matters, and you got to put that first priority in your life. We're going to have to start them out right. Amen? We got to start our babies out right. The devil is looking to seek for who he can devour, and it's our kids. Go fish, go camp, whatever you want to do, but you better put God number one on that list. And it's good to have our kids in the house of the Lord, to raise them up, to encourage them. And so Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. And notice he didn't say, obey your parents in the Lord, if it makes sense. Why? Ever tell your kids to do something and they're like, why? Man, I used to tell my kids, because I said so, that's why. That's it. If there's no other reason, it's because I said so, that's why. But it goes beyond why, because I said so, that's why. Listen and check this out if you're taking notes. It's so important for your kids to understand what you're telling them to do, even when they don't get it, to do it. Because later it teaches them to trust and rely on the Lord when they don't understand what the Lord is telling them to do. Does that make sense? It's going to have to start at home, your kids just obeying when they don't understand. Because how many of us, please raise your hand, you've had to obey the Lord and you're like, I don't understand how this is going to work out. I don't understand why I got to do this. Lord, it makes more sense for me not to do this than to do this. And if we train our kids up now, and if you train your kids up when you have them, I'm speaking to you that don't have no kids, and you get a hold of them early and you say, listen, you need to just trust me and you need to be an example to them, so when they grow up, they can also trust the Lord when they don't understand the Lord. When it makes more sense to sleep around. When it makes more sense to do the dough. When it makes more sense to self-destruct or do whatever, and they're like, why do I got to do it God's way? Listen, get it into them now. You training them to obey and listen now before they get it later is going to help them trust the Lord when they grow up, when they don't understand it. Paul says, obey him in the Lord. Obey your parents as into the Lord. It ain't just a clothing line, amen? He's like, obey. Paul's not telling them to do it if they understand it. And what it looks like, I don't know if you're young here and listening maybe online, but obeying your parents doesn't mean, okay, I'll do it. You know how you tell your parent, you'll tell your child, okay, listen, I need you to just like clean up your room. And they're like, okay, I'll do it. And then you let it go and let it go. 3 days later, you're like, I told you clean up your room. And they're like, God, you're just so unreasonable. I asked you 3 days ago, right? Like, you know, we've already talked about this. That's not obeying, where your parents ask you something and then 4 or 5 days later you don't do it, and then they ask you to do it and they're like, man, you're just so crazy. Man, we want to obey our parents. We want to obey them, and especially when it's something that we don't care to do. Maybe, I don't think any kid wakes up and says, man, I can't wait to do chores today. Teach them to take out that trash. Amen? Because you know what? They're going to be taking out trash for the rest of their life. They might as well start now. They're going to learn how to take out the trash on the internet. They're going to have to learn how to take the trash out of their mind. They're going to have to learn how to take the trash out of their relationship. Take that trash out, Mr. Miyagi. Right? It's giving them some life lessons right there. They may not always get it, and they may not always want to do it, but we want to make sure that we're training them upright. I'll tell you what, when I was younger, this is going to freak some of you guys out, don't judge me now, but when there was something I didn't want to do, I would just sabotage it. So, and this is the, and listen, I'm going to tell you guys, this is, you're probably not going to believe this, but I'm telling you the truth. I was 5 years old, and my mom said, Jason, you go in that room and you take a nap right now. And I said, I will not. She said, get the belt. And I said, I'm going to go take a nap. So I go in there, and I was mad about that. Now, I had a tape cassette player. Any of you guys remember that? You remember riding dinosaurs to school? Okay, so they had this tape player, and there was a cassette that went in there. And there was this record, pause, fast forward, rewind, all this stuff, right? So I used to be into Solid Gold on TV. Come on, somebody. How many of you guys remember Solid Gold? Nobody wants to raise your hand because you're old. Solid Gold was awesome, and I would hit the record. I'd put it up to the TV and hit record, and I had all these cassette tapes. So I go into my bedroom, and I find a pillow and a belt, and I grab my recorder, and I take it very quietly over to the belt and the pillow, and I started beating the pillow while I hit record. And I'm going, ow, ow, Mom, stop hitting me. Stop beating me. Ow. And then I hit stop. Now, I hadn't learned how to negotiate yet. So I'm 5 years, I go out of the bedroom and I tell my mom, I said, you know what? I'm not going to take a nap today. She goes, Jason, how so? I said, because if you make me take a nap, I'm going to turn you in for beating me. And that was the wrong thing to say. Because then she goes, really? How are you going to do that? I said, I'm going to turn you into Becky. And that was my aunt. And my aunt worked for child services. She was the one that would go into homes that were abusing kids and get those babies. And I said, I'm going to turn you into Becky. She goes, how so? I said, because I made a tape. I made a tape of you. And she said, and what's on it? I said, you beating me? She goes in there, she goes, go get that tape, go get the belt. And I went in there, got that tape, got the belt. I got whooped and then still put back in bed. And I'll tell you, it did not go good. I was a crazy, is anybody here like I was, where you were like really next level, clever? Nobody? You guys were saved, going to church, reading your Bible. Okay, cool. I was a mess. I was like that scary kid that you were like, that kid's Omen, Damon, or whatever. Like, that boy's bad. But man, I would do stuff like that. I would just try. And we don't want to be, you know what? When our kids, when they're listening, do what they tell us to do and do it the best that they can do it. If you're a kid and your parents are talking, you're like, man, Jason, you don't know. They're just so unreasonable. They're so demanding. Maybe so. But the Bible says, obey them as in the Lord. So when our children are submitting, do it like you're submitting to the Lord, and it will help you submit to your parents. And so obedience isn't about convenience. Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. It doesn't matter if it seems fair or if it's a hassle or it doesn't make sense. We need to raise our kids up to be obedient. In fact, even Jesus was obedient to his parents. Did you know that? Here's a teenager. You know, teenagers today, they think they're God. This is a teenager that was God. And he still obeyed. Check out Luke chapter 2, verse 51. It says, then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Can you imagine Mary telling Jesus, I want you home before the sun sets? And he's like, whoa, look it. I made the sun. And I will keep that thing up. You better go read Joshua when there was that thing going on in the sky. I'll keep that sun up and I'll be home when I want to get home. No, Jesus could have done that. It says he submitted and he obeyed everything that his parents asked him to do. And he grew in wisdom and favor with men. You want your kids to have respect in the community and have favor and wisdom amongst the people of your friends and your family members and whoever else? Raise them in the Lord. Make them be obedient. We have to make sure that our kids are obedient. So as parents, we need to teach them to obey, and sometimes that takes discipline. Check out Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. And right here, some people are like, Jason, I'm not into spanking. Okay, that's up to you. That's totally up to you. You know your kid's not gonna die. Okay? No, they will not die. I know you might want to spank them to death sometimes, but they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. They can handle it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, he who spares the rod hates his son. That's kind of hardcore language. Don't talk to me like that, right? Hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. You know, we got to remember that we only got a window of time to discipline our kids. They're only going to be young for a little while. Check out Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. You've got a window of time. And after that window of time, you think it's hard to discipline your kids now, you wait till they get 13, 14, 15, 16. You try to whoop them then, and they're going to grab that belt and go, not today. See, I've grown up a little bit. It ain't going to happen today. And of course, you know, if your kids are in their 30s, I think that might be beyond the time of spanking. But listen, the Bible says we've got a window of opportunity to discipline our, however that looks for you. If you want to put your kid in time out, put your kid in time out. To me, that sounds like a vacation because I got a lot of stuff going on and I want time out anyway. So that's fine. But the Bible's saying, listen, we want to make sure that we're raising them up right. But he says, check this out in verse 2, we don't want to just obey our parents, but we want to honor them. He says in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may be well with you and that you will live long on the earth. So obedience to your parents, and even, it doesn't matter how old you are. And obviously there's a line that has to be drawn between your wife, your family, your kids, and her parents, your parents, and things like that. But when it comes to obedience, that is action, and honor is attitude. Now, whether or not you're moved and you're out of the home, you may not have to take out the trash like Mr. Miyagi anymore, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to honor your parents anymore. He's saying, honor your parents. And right there, I just want to speak to the one who's like, Jason, you don't know my parents. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know the abuse. You don't know the hurt. You don't know the verbal abuse. You don't know the situation with me. And wouldn't it have been so much easier if Paul would have said, listen, honor your parents if they're perfect. Honor your parents when it makes sense. Honor your parents if they never hurt you. Honor your parents if they never abused you. Honor your parents if they never embarrassed you, have made life hell for you. Honor your parents that way. Wouldn't that have been great? Because then it would have like set the stage and put perimeters around how we honor our parents, because then we could say, that's not happening, so I don't have to do it. But he doesn't do it. And the reason why is because he still expects us, the Word of God still expects us to honor our parents. I already told you my story, right? This is why, because I knew that there'd be people and they'd hear this and they're like, I'm not going to honor them. Now, how do you do it? Is it even possible? That's the questions I came asking Paul. How do you do it? Because a lot of times that right there just doesn't even make any sense to me. But the first thing that we got to do, check this out, if that's you, like it was me, when it comes to honoring our parents, number one, this is the first thing, and I'll make the connection, is you've got to trust your heavenly Father as your Father. Number one, trust your heavenly Father. That he's good, he loves you, he's got a plan for you, and he cares for you. Check out Psalm 68, verse 5. He's a father to the fatherless and a defender. And I wanted to tell you guys that because some of us in here had dads, but we never had a father. He might have been in your home. He may have worked a couple weeks, but he was anything but a dad. He was anything but a father. And you guys know I didn't have one dad. I had eight. And none of them were a father to me. And the first thing that we understand that we need to get is that he's a father to the fatherless. Everything I know about being a good dad, not saying I am, but what I know of it, I got it from my father. And he's good, and he has plans. Check out Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. We love this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. And so when we trust in our Father, if this is you, and you're like, Jason, it's really hard, I can't do it. Number one, trust in your Father. Because when you trust in your Father, he's going to put his Holy Spirit in you. And then when that happens, there's going to be a change of your heart. You have every reason to be upset if this is you. But I'm going to tell you, when we submit to God, he changes our heart. He says in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you, not you working, not you struggling, not you trying to make it happen. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So when we put our trust in the Lord, he puts a new heart in us. Number one, I'm not saying that's going to fix you right now. It's something for you to think about. And number two, we got to forgive them. If you're going to honor your parents and they destroyed your family, messed you up with your sisters or your brothers, took off and left you behind to fix it, yes, there's going to have to be some forgiveness. And you're like, Jason, I will not forgive. Look, one of the things about forgiveness is this, and if I was to ask you if you've got a problem with forgiveness, if you're honest, you're going to raise your hand. And that should bother you like it bothers me, because what the Word of God says, if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. But I want to explain something to you about that. Not forgiving, where you're like, I refuse. I directly reject what you tell me to do, God. I want nothing to do with it. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not. I refuse. I'm going to stand strong against that. Forget that. I'm not doing it. That's unforgivable. That's unforgivable forgiveness. Struggling forgiveness is forgivable forgiveness. Am I making any sense? I'm talking about when you go to God and you say, oh God, I can't. And I know you want me to. Lord, this is the hardest thing in my life. How do you expect me to do this? Because there's people in your life that have taken things from you, who have hurt you deliberately, and there's no forgiveness there for them. And I get it. But when we say, God, I got struggling forgiveness, help me. You know what? He understands that. God understands struggling forgiveness. He will develop struggling forgiveness. He will forgive struggling forgiveness. He will strengthen struggling forgiveness. And he'll heal struggling forgiveness. But we got to give it to him. And so we need to make sure that, listen, okay, the Bible says honor my father and my mother, and it is going to be impossible, just to let you know. But by the way, all things are possible with God. Remember that. He was crucified in weakness and resurrected and lives in power. God has a way of flipping the switch, amen? He needs to do it in our heart, and he can do it. And so Paul says, honor our parents, honor them, obey them. And so now Paul, we're getting ready to get to the end of this. He's going to say, honor our parents, and there's a promise with this. Did you see it? If you honor your parents, verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So it's got a promise to it. Now, when I read that, that little phrase right there kept a man from coming to Jesus that I knew, and he straight up rejected and had nothing to do with God because of this verse. He was a customer of mine, and he was an older guy, and I was witnessing to him about the Lord. I had just gotten saved. I was a younger guy, and I was telling everybody about Jesus. And he could have torn me up, but he was very gracious. And I said, hey, you know what? God loves you. and can I pray with you and maybe, you know, get your sins forgiven? And I didn't know much. And he says, Jason, I'm going to tell you something about this God of yours. He said, you see, in the Bible, it says, honor your father and your mother, and if you do, it'll go well with you and you'll have long life on the earth. Well, my first wife, I loved her so much, Jason. She was my soulmate. She was everything. She was the one woman I knew I was to be with. It was just this connection. And she was the most honorable and obedient girl, young girl, in her 20s. They had only been married for a little while. And he said, and she got sick and died. And he goes, now you tell me how the Bible says if you do that, then this is going to happen. And that did not happen. And I was like, Scooby-Doo, rut-ro. Where's Google? Right? It was like 10 years before Google. Let me hold on a second. Let me act like I know what I'm doing. Google, right? But I didn't have an answer for him. And I'm like, I don't know. I just know that God loves you and he's forgiven you. And by the way, never let what you don't know about God keep you from what you do know about him when you're talking to people. Do you hear me? Because you may not know everything about him, but there is some things you do. That he is good, that he's holy, that he's righteous, that he's a forgiver of our sins. And so I just kind of let that go. But then I started thinking about it and I was like, man, he's on to something there. Well, anyways, he left the next day back to his other home in Arizona, got in his RV with his other wife now. It caught on fire, and he burned to death 24 hours later. And it was because of this verse right here. He said no. Now, if you're here and you're like, Jason, you know, he's got a point, though. It does say that, and this does happen. I'm going to tell you two things and why this does, what this means in the context. Number one, what Paul's doing is he's quoting out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Now, when this was written in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, they were a theocracy. God was like the president. They had things that they did as a culture and a people, right? The Jews are different people. And so back then, if you had a kid and he was like, hey, blank you, and he's like kicking animals, and he's just nuts, and he's like totally rebellious, listens to country music, whatever. You guys like country? Okay. Totally rebellious, threatening his parents. So they say, hey, boy, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the tabernacle. We're going to talk to the priest, and we're going to see about what to do with you. And so they bring their kid to the priest of the tabernacle, and they say, this boy's off the hook. He's crazy. Look at this. He's threatening us. He's punching his mom. And he's telling the priest, hey, flip you, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, see, the kid's nuts. And they would say, okay, you know what you do? Hey, get the community together. Take him out to the side there and stone him. So getting stoned back then was something a little different than it is today. When your mom said, hey, for your birthday, I'm going to take you to go get high. No. They were stoning these kids. So in that sense, it's true, right? Honor your mother and father, it'll go well with you, and you'll have a long life. Why? Because they will kill you. Number two, check this out. It still applies to us today. If you have two kids, and one kid says, I'm going to honor my mother, my father, I'm not going to go sleep around, I'm going to get an education, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to listen to them, I'm going to do things right before the Lord, I'm not going to shame my parents. And then you got another, the brother or sister, that's like, you know what, forget this. I'm going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off, I'm going to do dope, I'm going to sleep around, I'm going to do with what I want to do, with who I want to do it, I'm going to do it my way. If life plays out, who do you think is going to have a longer life? It makes sense. The one who is honoring and doing what's right. And so when Paul's saying this, he's saying, hey, listen, it's a promise that, listen, when we do what's right, it's going to go right. And that's it. And so he tells him, he says, honor your father and your mother as in the Lord. Because we got to remember that sin will rob us, but obedience blesses us. Now let's finish this out in verse 4. Paul now turns to the heads of the family, the fathers. Listen to this. Verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition in the Lord." Don't provoke your kids. Now, just so you, because like me, I'm a dad, I want to know what that definition provoke means, right? Right? You remember when we were talking about fornication? And we're like, hey, what's that Greek word mean for fornication? It's a dirty word, right? It's a bucket full of trash. So what provoking them means, treatment that builds up to a deep-seated anger and resentment that boils over into outward hostility. Now, when I read that, I looked at Samantha on Thursday. I said, I'm teaching this, my daughter. And she had a weird look on her face. She's like, really? You're going to teach don't provoke your children? And I said, yeah, I think so. And here's why it was weird. Because if I'm honest with you guys, I wish I could tell you before I punished my children that we read the Bible together. We sang a little song, little kumbaya. And then I was like, get the belt. Okay? It didn't always roll like that. In fact, my daughter, I had told her, clean up your room for a week. And she wouldn't clean it up. There was blankets all over her room, enough to fund an Eskimo tribe. And I'm like, just pick it up. Just pick it. She wouldn't do it. So I came home one day. I picked up her bed. I picked up all those filthy blankets. I picked up her pillow, and I threw it outside. And she came home, and all her stuff was out on the front yard. And it didn't go good. And I started thinking about all this stuff. And by the way, I have repented of this. Because if there's anything that I've done, I've had an attitude a lot in my past. If you mess with me by not listening to me, I'm going to mess with you too. Any parents like that? I'm going to mess with you a little bit too. You can sit there and act like you're going to write a book on parenting. That's up to you. But I'm going to talk to the real parent pool for a second. There's been times where like, man, you messing with me, it's going to cost you. You remember your parents, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? I don't know. I really don't know. But listen, we don't want to provoke them as a form of punishment. And there's some ways that we can do that and not know it. Obviously, number one, verbal abuse. If you guys are cussing your kids, if you're verbally abusing them, we can't do that. If we're comparing one kid to another kid, we can't do that neither. If you're pushing your kids to overachieve, that's going to mess with them too. And there's a lot of ways that it happens. Overprotection of your kids is going to provoke them. Like, you can't let them go out of the house without a seminar and a helmet. And you're just like, don't even cross the street or whatever. You're just like overly protective. It's going to cause provoking in them. It's not a punishment. Let's close this out. He says, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. To bring them up in the Lord. Worship team, come on up. Bring them up in the Lord. Fathers. He starts out with fathers. So I want to start out with fathers. Fathers, if you have children, you need to bring them up in the Lord. That's not the Sunday school teacher's job. That's not the pastor's job. That's not the daycare's job. It's the father's job to bring their children up in the Lord. And today we got so many things bringing our kids up. We've got the media, we got music, we got movies, we got the culture, we got everything bringing our kids up, but fathers bringing their kids up. And then we wonder why things are so messed up with our kids at home, because if the dad is home, he's not being a dad. And that's why when I look and I see you guys here, and I know you guys, I am so stoked to see you guys raising your children, to be in a part of their life. Look, you may not have the best life for them. Maybe you had a relationship, it's split up and it's all weird, but you're still a part of their family. You're still their father. you're still in their life somehow, some way. That's so important. But it's talking to us as mom and dad too. Because some of you guys don't have a husband and you're raising those children up on your own self. Hey, you can be a better dad than an absent one. You raise them up in the Lord. And here's what Paul is saying. This is the big idea of what Paul wants to tell us about it. And this is why it's so important that we get this, is because it's because that when we raise our kids as a family, we're obedient. As a family, we're going to stay together as a family. That's it. If we're obedient to God as a family, God will keep the family together. And so will you guys stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you guys this morning. Because some of you are here today, and you're like, Jason, my kids are gone. I don't have nothing to do with them anymore. They're on the other side of the United States. I don't know how I can deal with it. Well, let me tell you about it. The way that God sees it, in our families, if you're a man and you have a family and you've got children, as long as you're alive, you're the head of your household. Did you know that? If your dad is still alive, he's still the head of your household. Not your household, but he's the headship of the family. That's the way the Bible sees it. So it doesn't matter if your kids are grown up, they're gone, and you're in that season where they're out of the house. You're still a father to them. And they still will look to you. And if they don't want to look to you, give them a reason to. Start giving your life to the Lord and lead your kids in the Lord. Some of us listen online. I don't think anybody here, but I'm sure there's people listening. They're like, you know what? I'm just going to do my own thing. I've been split up. And mom's got them and I'm out of their life. And it just doesn't really matter. No, it does matter. Do whatever you got to do to get back in those kids' life. You may not be able to get back in your ex's life or want to, but do what you got to do to get into their life as their parents, to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. It's your wake-up call right now. Get busy with your kids. And if you're here and you're like, Jason, it's kind of weird. Like, we never really served the Lord together as a family. We never really prayed together as a family. Kind of went to church as a family, but at home, you know, it's weird, and I don't know how to cross those lines now. I know that it needs to happen. You're right, it does need to happen, and if you don't know how to make it happen, it starts with prayer. Just start praying about it. God, show me how to lead my kids at home. Maybe pray with your kids. That. How about that, dads? How many times are you praying with your children? How many times are you reading the Word of God with your kids, dads? They need you. And for those of you guys that are here today and you got your kids, you got them in the house of the Lord, you're raising them up right. I applaud. In fact, let's give it up for you dads in here. You guys are amazing. And you know what I love about you guys? Is that life has messed with you and you've taken it to the mat for your kids and you said, hey, we're going to work this out. Oh, I thank you guys for that. So, Father, we come to you today and I just pray over our church. I pray over the men, the families, Father, in here. I pray for those who are going to have children. Father, they weren't raised right. They may have had nobody at home, but that doesn't matter because what you've done in my life, you can do in theirs. And you can bring a family back together. You can raise somebody up to lead their family different in the way that they were led. And we thank you for that, God. Father, we're praying for all the broken hearts in here that are having a problem with honor, that are having an issue with forgiveness. And God, we're coming together on their behalf and we're linking spiritual arms, praying for them, God. Give them the strength to change that. Father, we pray that you give them the strength to forgive and to honor and that they submit their heart to you, God, in that you change their heart. God, we need a heart transplant. And if that's you here today, I'm praying that for you right now. now. In fact, I want you guys to bow your heads right now. Listen, if that's you right now and you need a heart transplant, I want you to raise your hand. I never do this. Raise your hand if you need a heart transplant. I see you back there. Good. If you got unforgiveness issues, if it's hard, if you've been struggling, I see your hand. That's good. If you've been battling it, raise your hand. Good, 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 good. Yes, yes. Father, I lift these up to you today. And as they're submitting to you, God, I pray that you give them grace right now to know that unforgiveness is a sin, but struggling forgiveness is not a sin. God, that they realize that here today. And in that, I pray that you work in them, God. Break those chains of unforgiveness, Lord, as they submit to you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you've adopted us, that you've called us your children, that you've called us your chosen, Lord. While we were in our sins and our transgressions, you gave your life for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We honor you for that, Lord. And may everything flow from that. In Jesus' name. Church said, amen. Let's praise God one time.